you watch Saturday Night Live last night?
I didn't. I usually watch it on Sunday mornings, but I missed my opportunity this morning.
I will say Will Ferrell has one sketch. Will Ferrell was delightful, as he always is when he's on Saturday Night Live, but he has one sketch that kind of points out how problematic a lot of things can be. Like, and 5 years ago, we were like, it's fine. I won't spoil it.
Oh, good.
It's very, good. All right.
I can't wait to watch. I'll probably watch it after this, to be honest.
That,
now.
That and the monologue. His monologue was pretty funny.
Okay, good. Saturday Night Live had, like, a bad start to the season, but they've had a couple of good ones in a row.
I really liked Harry Styles was funny last week. I liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chance the Rapper was pretty funny.
Always good.
Yes. Phoebe Waller-Bridge was okay. I don't think it was her fault. I think it was bad writing.
That was a missed, like a misstep. It was a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Who else was this season? I can't remember anybody else.
There was one more person in between Chance the Rapper and Harry Styles that did well.
Yeah, who was it? Woody Harrelson was the premiere.
That was not great.
No, it was, yeah. He was funny as Joe Biden, and I do like that they got Maya Rudolph as Kamala Harris, which I think is really funny. Yeah. No, this season's been, like, so-so.
It's been so-so.
Yeah.
But they gotta save their strength for next season with the elections, so.
Yes, that's true. Who's next? Next week's like Jennifer Lopez or something like that.
Yeah.
She'll be fine. I have no thoughts on that one. She'll either be good or bad. It's one of those things.
I'm neutral on that.
Yeah. All right. I got us off topic again. I told you this was going to happen, and I apologize.
Let's talk about films and shit.
Hey guys, welcome to Ghostface Knit. I am your host, Courtney Garbera. This is the podcast where we talk favorite films with some of my favorite people. And I am here today with one of my very good friends, Maddie Clark. Maddie, how are you?
I'm good, Coco. How are you?
I am good. And I was just thinking about this the other day. We've known each other for almost a decade.
I was thinking about that the other day, too. It's crazy.
It is.
Old.
We did get old. Honestly, nothing like my 10-year high school reunion's coming up, but nothing made me feel more old than like, oh, I've known the old box office crew for about 10 years, which just made me.
Weren't we going to work there yesterday?
I think so. I was gonna say, you were my first non-roommate friend on Facebook in college.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then later I found
technically a sim because you're younger than me.
That's true.
It doesn't reciprocate that way.
No. I think a sim was the first one I met of you guys. Because he took my little resume. My highlighted resume. Did Jess ever tell you that? I highlighted it and she was like, you highlighted everything, which I appreciated, and I was like, oh, good.
No, I did not know that. That's so funny.
She was like, you went a little highlighter crazy. And I was like, yeah. She was like, I liked it. And I was like, oh, well, that worked out really well.
Me and a sim got the job, Jess said, because we worked in pizza places and she worked in a pizza place in high school. And she's like, okay, great. These are my people.
Had I known that, I would have faked a pizza job on my resume and been like, I totally worked at a pizza place.
You were fine anyway.
I was, but that would have been like the cherry on top of it. And then years later, I would have been like, I've never worked at a pizza place. Really sorry. What movie are we talking today, Maddie?
We are talking White Christmas, which is obviously a Christmas movie that I will watch any time of the year.
Yes. As I was watching it, when I watched it a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I could watch this all the time. And I'm going to watch it again on Thanksgiving because it's my Thanksgiving movie. So.
Oh, I don't know what my I don't know if I really have a Thanksgiving movie.
I should say, I should put, like, an asterisk. Like, the one I watched to, like, ring in Christmas.
Yes, of course, of course.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like, day after, or, like, when you're putting up the tree, like, that kind of, like, okay, Thanksgiving's done, now we're doing Christmas.
Exactly. Unfortunately, there's not a ton of Thanksgiving movies.
No, but I don't really need a Thanksgiving movie.
I will admit, well, I have one, and it's the best little whorehouse in Texas because it takes place during, I think, the Aggie-Texas game, which takes place on Thanksgiving. So there you go. There's a Thanksgiving movie for you, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
There we go.
I mean, you can't get more wholesome than Dolly Parton in a whorehouse.
I don't know this movie, but that's okay. But I... Oh.
I think you'd like it.
I probably would. I love Dolly Parton, like, as an idea. It's not someone that, like, I feel like growing up on Long Island, Dolly Parton's kind of not in my wheelhouse, per se. But, like, what I've learned from her since growing up, I'm a big fan of Dolly Parton, especially everything that she does for, like, literacy and all that. There's a podcast about her now. Did you see that?
I have not seen that, but I will be looking into that tomorrow for my train ride.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. I've been recommended it. It's a WNYC one. The guy from Radiolab hosts. It's supposed to be good. I haven't watched it. I'm recommending something I haven't listened to.
I mean, it's about Dolly, though. Dolly's super interesting. But yes. But I highly recommend Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. This is a good one.
Okay. The movie for me that I watch to, like, bring in Christmas is A Muppet Family Christmas on a, like, old janky from a VHS recording of it to a DVD recording of that VHS.
So it has, like, all this had, like, the skips that the VHS had?
Oh, yeah, and, like, an Oshkosh Bagosh commercial in the middle of it.
I mean, that is, I feel like that's, like, the most, like, 80s, 90s thing that could possibly have been on that.
Yeah, and it's a big deal in my house. When I found out when I was dating Sean that he was familiar with it, it was a big deal of being like, okay, great, you're my person.
And perfect. That was a test, and you passed, and you didn't even know it was a test.
Exactly. Very accurate.
No, that's a good one, too.
Do you want to go into my summary? I'm feeling super unprepared, but let's do this.
Yes. So, yeah. So 30-second summary and 30 seconds or less. Explain the plot in its entirety, which hopefully, White Christmas, you should be able to do in 30 seconds, I feel like.
I feel like I want to do so much more than a 30-second plot, though.
So what I'll do is if you go over, I'll hit you. I'll be like, hey, stop, we've hit 30 seconds, but I will let you finish the plot afterwards. Like I said last week, my cousin Emily did like a minute and a half, so.
Okay, well, you know, I'm from Long Island, so I can talk fast. So everyone, I'm very sorry if you're listening to this.
All right, are you ready? Do you want me to count you down or do you just want me to start it?
I want you to count me down. It feels more official like that.
All right, ready in 3, 2, and 1.
All right, so we open in World War II, Christmas Eve, somewhere overseas. It's pretty ambiguous. Bob Wallace, played by Bing Crosby and Phil Davis, are performing. I can never tell if White Christmas is a already famous song by Bob Wallace or not. He performs it for the troops. The general is taking his replacement around, and the outfit sings to General Waverly, the old man. Soon
and
after
stop.
An enemy.
That was
oh my god!
Seconds.
Is that 30 seconds?
That is no. 30 seconds. Yes.
Okay. I want to try again because now I'm actually not. Now I'm okay. Now I should have practiced.
No, you're good. Oh, I did mine in a rush, and then mine was just like I just said a bunch of stuff at that. So it's nerve wracking, isn't it?
I want to. Can we like retry this?
Yes.
Let's retry this.
Of course. Okay. All right. I'm resetting the clock. Resetting my little lap timer on my thing. All right. I'll count you down again.
Yes, okay.
Right. Are you ready?
Yes, I should have practiced.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Two army buddies, one who saved the other one's life, become a famous producers of Broadway shows. They follow girls up to Vermont for Christmas, see their old general from the army, try to save his inn, sing White Christmas 2 times, sing a couple of songs a lot, dance a lot. And there's misunderstandings and a fake engagement and a lot of scheming and love.
And that's done. It. That's 30 seconds.
Yeah. All right.
Done. I was about to say,
I was giving a real plot.
You were, I was about to say, I think you were legit like diving into the plot of White Christmas that first time.
Yeah, because that's plot. But I then saw, I, this is why I should have like been like, wait, Maddie, 30 seconds is really fast.
It's simultaneously fast and feels like forever because you're like, when is it, when, who's going to say it? When does the stop come? When is this coming? Like,
yeah, a moment where I was like, okay, wait, where's stop? Wait. And there's.
So you did it in exactly 30 seconds that second time.
Oh, good. All right. See, I'm an overachiever, but I do need to practice.
That is very impressive, though. But I do want to go back really quickly to something you said from your first summary about whether or not White Christmas is a song by the time we hear him sing, obviously, in the beginning. And I've always wondered that as well, because, like, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go on.
Well, I was going to say, because no one else is singing along, but everybody is, like, looking all, like, sentimental while he's singing it.
Yes, it makes it seem like, and, like, Phil Davis introduces it, like, we have a really big treat for you. He's performing, and then he performs this random song.
Yes.
That's famous now from this movie, or is it famous from Holiday Inn? I can never remember.
I think Holiday Inn was first. And then this one, which I get, this movie's kind of similar to Holiday Inn, but not really. I've never seen Holiday Inn, if I'm being very honest.
I've seen Holiday Inn once, and I don't care for it.
Yeah, my mom never really liked it, so she actually told me recently, she was like, yeah, you didn't watch it because I don't like that movie, and I was like, oh, well, that's fair. I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, White Christmas is very delightful, so I can't really... I can't imagine Holiday Inn is much better.
Yeah, I don't want to spend the time watching Holiday Inn when I can sit down and watch White Christmas.
Exactly.
I don't want to spend the time watching a lot of movies when I could sit down and just watch White Christmas.
Yes. I'm not going to lie to you. I watched this movie at least four times during the Christmas period. This, Die Hard, and Home Alone. Those are my trifecta of Christmas films.
Home Alone and Die Hard don't enter my trifecta, but...
Not Home Alone?
We share... No, you know this. Taryn's gonna, you know this, right? I just don't care for Home Alone.
I didn't realize you didn't care for it.
I was an anxious child. Now looking back, what I know now, and like the thought of being left and then like having to fight off criminals, it just didn't work for Maddie.
Somewhere Taryn is just like shaking her head and is disappointed for no reason. And she listens to this.
Went off.
Yeah. She's like, someone just said they didn't like Home Alone. She's gonna be like, it was someone I know too.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And not Die. I mean, I can't really blame you for Die Hard. Die Hard, you either really love it or you just.
Die Hard kind of like really did it for me, and I don't think I've ever seen it in full, to be honest.
Oh, I mean, to be fair, it's not. Oh, go ahead.
Huh?
No,
I do really like the Brooklyn Nine-Nine episodes that are based on Die Hard. There's like three of them.
Yes, that's because Jake Peralta is just obsessed with them. Jake Peralta is me a lot of the time, and it's really
I
sad.
Know that.
Yes. I'm an odd mix of Jake Peralta, Chandler Bing, and Nick from New Girl, which just kind of makes me a little sad.
Fair. No, fair. Yeah.
All right, I got off topic because I started talking about Die Hard, which I could do a whole other podcast on, but we don't have the time. what were we talking about? Jesus, I got us off track.
We did our we did the summary, and we went back to if White Christmas exists in this universe as a like Bob Wallace song hit,
or yes.
If it's a song. Everyone in the audience of this movie has too much, like, weight. There's too much weight to this song for it to not be a known song.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And then everybody at the end is singing it, like, when they sing along with it. Oh, I forgot to put a spoiler alert at the top of this. It does snow at the end. Spoilers. I mentioned this.
The bigger spoiler is that it doesn't snow almost the whole movie.
Yes. Yes, but if you look on IMDb, there's a great trivia at the bottom that not only is the snow at the end asbestos, which just seems fairly dangerous because of all the ads I see about it, but also it was like as a spoiler alert under it, like that was the big spoiler for the film that it actually snowed. I agree. The bigger spoiler is like literally like it doesn't snow for the first like hour and a half of this movie.
Yeah. That's like the big plot twist. They get to Vermont and there's no snow. They sing a song called Snow.
Yes. And then they get there and there's like, bitch, it's like 70. You're like, yeah, well.
I wrote it down. It was 68 degrees when they arrived,
There you go. It's
which is
basically
crazy.
Florida in the wintertime.
Yes.
And they spend time in Florida in this movie too, which we'll get to because that is not at all what Florida looks like. Just FYI. Like they're like idealized version of Florida in this film. That's not it.
Well, this doesn't look like anything.
No.
None of these locations look real.
No. Yeah, that's
There's
very true.
not
I'm sure
one
Vermont
moment
doesn't
that
look that.
there's not one moment that you're like, oh yeah, they're totally filming somewhere real.
On location. Like, that's not. I
Ben
can't even.
Crosby didn't go on location.
No. He was like, I live like 5 minutes from this studio. We're filming here. And they're like, cool, Bing. So just speaking of White Christmas, before we get back to the movie, what version of White Christmas is your favorite version? Because a lot of people have done it over the years, because obviously it's a classic.
Oh, I don't. I think I just like the Bing Crosby version. I don't really have like a. I don't
Like
think I've
another.
ever. Yeah, I don't. It doesn't. It's not something that I need in my life, another version of White Christmas.
Ooh, I do disagree with you. I really like the Otis Redding version. I don't know if I can't really. That's the one where. Oh, well, I'm not gonna. I was about to try and sing it like Otis Redding. That's not happening. Never mind. I will just say I like the Otis Redding version and stop it there. Nobody needs me singing that in their life. But it is. It's a classic now. And I think it's mostly due to this movie and Holiday Inn, but it's crazy to think like at one point this wasn't like a classic Christmas song, I should say.
Well, I would say, like, don't Christmas songs only really start around now? Like, I feel
Yeah.
like this kind of idea that we have around Christmas is like a 1950s construct almost.
Yes, I agree.
Because, like, Christmas movies started, the Christmas songs started. I think they were like, the more like religious Christmas songs that existed that you sung, when you're at church and you sing like a, I can't even think of one, like, Mary, did you know?
Right. For
Or,
First Noel or something like that.
yeah, those have like a Christian twinge to them. These are just Christmas.
Yes. You have
And
White
about like,
Christmas and then Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. There you
oh,
go.
classic.
Not 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 not, not religious song. Or maybe, who knows? They might sing it in churches now.
Maybe, I don't know. I haven't been in quite some time. They could.
I haven't either. I think I'd burn up upon entry, but you know.
Oh
sorry, random. Yeah, things no one ever needed to know. There you go. And then, yeah. So, White Christmas. The song does bookend the film, and it is. And along with the Old Man, which they sing the two different versions of that as well, which I really love that song and it's constantly stuck in my head. I wish I was lying. Like every time I'm not thinking of something, that song is in my head.
That song is constantly in my head. And it's in my head after watching this for like a week.
Yes. Oh, like literally when I like walk to the little laundromat here by my apartment and I walk back, literally all I think of the whole time is we'll follow the old man wherever he was. Like that's all that's in my head.
Because
Everything.
it's got like a marching beat to it. It's really like, it's easy to be in your head.
Yes, I agree. And then it always melds into G, I wish I was back in the army, which they're two different songs, but it always like goes back into each other. It's a
You're
weird
right, though.
hodgepodge of
You
music.
are
Yeah,
right.
it's like the same tone.
Yes. It does the
Which
same thing for me, too.
yeah, so yeah. But so there's a lot of songs in White Christmas. Obviously, there's the very famous Sisters, which both version of both scenes with it I really love. I don't is that what which one's a your favorite song from this movie?
I would say I really love Snow.
Yes.
I love the whole thing, even though that there's no dancing in it or anything, and the dancing is a lot of what I like of this movie.
Yeah.
But I really like snow. It just it really makes me happy. I think that they're so happy in it. I think their idea of snow is so awful and wrong.
Yeah, like when he's like, I'll wash my hair with snow. Like to me, I'm always like, that just seems not, don't do that.
And they're like, oh, I can't wait to shovel snow, which is not what I want to do ever.
Yeah, if you know the really exciting thing about snow, we get to do labor with it. That's exciting, isn't it? We could build a snowman or throw, have a snowball fight, but no. Let's shovel it.
Yeah, I'll lift a spade of snow. I'm like,
Yes.
every time that happens, I laugh. I just think it's so funny. But I pretty much always cry the second time that they sing the old man. So I think that's a
Yes.
close second. And like we were saying, it's constantly in my head. I don't know like how it lives in the back of my head, but it's constantly running there.
No, I mean it's one of that song is just it is it it is it's especially it's like you said, like it's emotional that second time. Like it's emotional the first time as well, but it's very emotional that second time, especially after the general has been told he's not going back to the army and that, he kind of not he hasn't lost his purpose, but he feels like he has and he has to come to terms with it. And it is, it's a great like emotional high point of the movie. I actually don't think this
Yes,
movie's ever made me cry, and I cry in everything.
which I cry in nothing, and them doing that for the general just gets me every time.
I might,
So I think
I'll have
we're
to, that's weird that like we balance like that.
I cry in not like I cry in very little movies.
Oh, I cry in like everything. Out of the three new movies I saw this week, I cried in two of them.
You definitely cried in Mr. Rogers.
Oh yeah, I don't even, I had a headache by the end of that movie. Jesus Christ.
That's what happened to me after I saw The Book Thief. Like
Yeah.
emotionally gutted.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, the first time I saw Les Miserables, that movie is like 2 hours and 45 minutes, and for about 2 hours and 40 minutes of it, I was crying, so.
Okay, so you cried during Mr. Rogers. What else would you have seen this week? Did you cry during Frozen 2?
I did. I cried twice in that movie. I didn't cry in Knives Out. Knives Out is just funny. There's
Oh,
nothing
I
to cry
really want
about.
to see that.
Oh, it's fantastic. I already bought my ticket to go see it again on Wednesday.
Do you think
It's
you're going
so
to see it
good.
more than twice? No, you're a multiple movie watcher in the theaters.
I am, but I've only seen two or three movies more than once this year because I haven't really been, there hasn't been a ton that I've really enjoyed, to be
It's
honest.
not been the year for it. I haven't gone to the movies other than like Marvel movies because you have to go when they come out.
Yeah, otherwise it gets
For
spoiled.
really anything.
Did you see Shazam?
No, I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. You don't have to, don't apologize. I love how you were just like, I don't want to say the true answer because I will
How
say.
you feel about Zachary Levi.
I know he's wonderful, Zachary Levi. I love you. Come on my podcast. But no, but Shazam was one that I saw a lot. But like Captain Marvel and Endgame, I think I saw those a couple times. Endgame, I cried in that movie. Forget about
Oh,
that.
I cried a little at Endgame. You can't not cry at the end. I mean,
No, it's yeah, it's sad. There were other parts I cried in that I probably shouldn't have cried in, that I think I was just like at an emotional high point and it was just like all coming out.
yeah, that's true. That does happen.
Yeah,
But I'm not a
I
movie
mean,
crier, so that doesn't happen to me.
oh, you should have heard me yesterday in Mr. Rogers because I was trying to be quiet, like quiet cry. And my nose was stuffy, so I had to let out a breath at some point because otherwise I'm gonna pass out because I'm not breathing. And just all of a sudden, you just hear like that, and it was awful. And this really quiet drama, and you just hear like they're probably like, what child is crying like that? I'm like, I'm sorry.
It's just me.
It's just me. Sorry. Sorry, all the old people next to me. I think I was the only one in that theater under the age of 40.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not surprising, actually.
No, but I do think a lot more like people like our age would have been there.
Yeah, so would I.
I guess they're all at Frozen with all the children. I don't know.
That's
It's a
fair.
weird age range for
Weird
both of those
weekend.
movies. Yeah. Yeah, it is. All right, I got off topic again. Sorry. That tends to happen. I'm very sorry. So yeah, the old man, Snow,
What are your
and yeah,
favorite songs?
I really like the best things happen while you're dancing, which I was actually going to mention the like you had said the dancing in this is the choreography and it's obviously really great. So they have a whole scene, they have a whole dance number called choreography, which Danny Kaye is my favorite part of this movie. I think I should just put that out there.
Agreed. I think it's the everyone's favorite part of the movie, and if it's not, you're wrong. Sorry.
Yes. I there's no argument. Danny Kaye is the best part of this movie.
However, I will say I fast forward that one performance every time.
Mandy or the choreography? Theater,
choreography.
Yeah. Every time. That they're just so random. Like that
they had to like fill up time, I guess. And it feels like that.
Yeah. And they have like two or three like that because they have choreography, they have Mandy. I feel like there's another one. Right? There's three like random ones because they're going through their show that they're going to do.
Yes.
And they're like, you're going to see the show.
Has a dance number.
Yeah.
Where she's wearing like that yellow with the same guy from Mandy, who's her dance partner.
Yeah, who has like weird teeth. Like, I hate to bring this up, but if you watch it again, Jesus, his smile is like something that will haunt your nightmares. Just putting
it's
it
really
out there.
Creepy, and he smiles really weirdly at her.
Yeah, and it's just weird. And it's something I've always remembered, like, even as a kid, I was always like, oh, that smile is weird. Like, I always look forward to it when I want to rewatch it.
No, agreed. I agreed completely.
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't crazy. I was a little worried about bringing that up. Like, I was like, what if Maddie's like, no, he looks fine. No, he looks weird.
No, yeah, and he gives her a look that just creeps me out.
It's creepy. Law and Order SVU should have been there.
Yeah, and the poor man is probably dead.
May he rest in peace with his creepy teeth. he's haunting heaven or hell now, so he's good.
I do love The Best Things Happen While You Dance. That's one of the numbers that have like the longest one-shot dance sequences.
Yeah, and it's just like everything that number to me is everything I really love about movie musicals, particularly movie musicals from this time. And I think it gets lost a little bit because you even look at movie musicals now and they don't really have those dance numbers like they used to. I don't know if you feel that way, but
like, no, I do completely. You're right.
And just to have that, like, it feels like a lot of Singing in the Rain is that way, like, where they just kind of fall into the dance instead of, like, just, like, oh, this is overly choreographed, like, they fall into this number, and it is natural, which I always really loved.
Yeah, like Moses Supposes.
Yes. Oh, I love that one, too.
I'll just watch that clip, like, just to give me joy.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I watch it, I do watch that scene, like, once every 6 months, at least.
Yes. Yes. That's they have one. Like one of those great one shots, like when Gene Kelly and oh my gosh, what's his name? Daniel O'Connor.
Donald O'Connor.
Donald O'Connor, Danny Kaye. That's why. when they come in into focus, they slide past their chairs and then they do that one long one shot. It's so good. And I can't even imagine how many takes they did of that.
No,
I just heard it all the time.
Singing in the Rain's another one that is just one of those movies that you like really look at and you think about it and you're like that. I love Singing in the Rain. I can't even articulate. Mm-hmm. I just love it. I do. Agreed. I do agree that like when he slides when they do, yeah, they just slide past. And you know, Donald O'Connor almost played Danny Kaye's role in this, but he had to drop out.
I saw that when I was doing like a little like Googling and stuff. Danny Kaye did a great job, which is fine, but could you imagine if my two favorite characters were both played by the same man? That's too much.
It is too much. They had to spread the love a little bit.
Just a little bit.
To make it a little less overwhelming. Could you imagine being like, I can't leave the house today, I watched Singing in the Rain and White Christmas, and Donald O'Connor was both, and I just can't. Sorry.
I can't leave the house today because I can't handle timeline that we live in.
Exactly. I was gonna say, in another timeline, Donald O'Connor does play Danny Kaye's role, and that timeline's Maddie knows how that feels.
Yes. Oh. Can't handle it.
So, speaking as me, cannot handle it. But I will say in this movie, everybody kind of gets a chance to shine. I know Danny Kaye, I really love him in The Best Things Happen While You're Dancing. And obviously he dances with Vera Ellen, but everybody kind of gets that moment. And Vera Ellen's more the dancer, obviously, and the others are more the singer. But this time around watching it, I really loved
Love You Didn't Do Right By Me, which Rosemary Clooney performs, and she is fantastic.
She's great in that song.
She is. I'm definitely in love with Danny Kaye. I think I fell a little in love with Rosemary Clooney during that song, I'm not going to lie.
No, yeah, fair.
Yeah. And obviously Bing Crosby gets White Christmas, but he also has Count Your Blessings instead of Sheep, which I didn't really like as a kid. That scene was always a little boring to me, but as an adult, I was like, I love that scene. I like the chemistry between Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney.
Yes, they have a good chemistry, and that scene really does, like, change the emotional tone into, like, okay, these two people could fall in love. It makes it believable at that point.
Yes, I agree.
Because before, they're fighting and everything, and you come in and you're like, wow, there's a real age difference here. Like, for real? Like, are we serious? And then this scene happens, and you emotionally are invested, and you're like, okay, or at least I am.
I agree.
It could be like a tone that could have fallen really, really flat. It's a boring song, but it's really important for the story.
It is. And it does showcase Bing Crosby. His voice goes really deep in that song, especially like when he starts it. I'm not going to try and mimic what he does, because that's not going to end well. But
his voice is so perfect.
It is. His voice is like Gene Kelly's voice. Like, it's just one of those that you hear and you're just like, yes. Yes. That's it. Just yes. I can barely articulate it.
Yes, of course. I agree.
Just yes. But yes, I really loved Love You Didn't Do Right By Me. And kind of speaking to, like you said, like the tonal change, this movie's very much, it's a Christmas movie, but it's very much a rom-com as well, because we get a lot of the tropes, like you were saying earlier. You get the scheming and the fake engagement and, like, all the great stuff that makes, a rom-com great. But I think they did it in a way that isn't too tropey. Like, I hope that, does that make sense?
I know, like, I totally agree. It's, like, the not cringy tropes.
Yes. Like, I think they balanced it really well. Like, it doesn't feel like, no offense to people who, I don't know if you like the Hallmark movies, it doesn't feel like one of those Hallmark movies where, like, it's like over the top tropey.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like the Hallmark movies as like background noise, and some of them are superior to others. They make like 85 a year or whatever insane amount it is.
It's impressive.
You know, all of them can't be bad.
No,
just to stick up for it. They all can't be bad. At that ratio, there's got to be one or two a year that are good.
Yes, but at the same time, they're making 85 a year. So for the one or two that are good, there's the 83 that are...
Oh, yeah, they're all... Yeah, exactly.
I will say, I've never... I was being mean to the Hallmark movies. I've actually never seen any of them, so I can't.
You've never sat through any of them? All right, I'll find you like one or two that are tolerable.
But I could be watching like White Christmas or While You Were Sleeping or Love Actually instead.
Fair. Yes, fair. We could talk for another podcast about Love Actually and like why I love it, but I also can see how amazingly problematic it is.
Oh, it's problematic. Yeah. Oh, I can admit it's problematic. The storyline I really love isn't problematic, which is the Colin Firth or Colin Farrell? Colin Firth, not Colin
Firth.
Jesus. I like his storyline. And his isn't
That's too the best storyline.
It is. Like the Andrew Lincoln and Keira Knightley one, problematic.
Oh, that's so, yeah. And everyone like comes away with that scene being romantic, but she's his married friend.
Yeah. What? It's bad.
It's bad.
Have you seen the they did like an unofficial sequel to it, I think last year or the year before, with Red Nose Day from over in the UK?
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah. And he like he still had the signs and he was like, sorry, I realize now this was not cool and all that stuff, which was really funny.
But like exactly. We now all see this now.
Yeah, it's so funny with things that are cringy like that. But like 10 years ago, we were like, this is fine.
Yes. There's just so many things where it's like, well, we didn't know better. We knew better, but it was just okay.
Yeah, people didn't give a shit. And it's like, well, you still knew better. Like,
Yeah.
Because I brought up other Christmas movies as well. I think we were talking about the tropes in it. I do like the fake engagement. I like what they do with Danny Kaye and Vera Ellen. Vera Ellen is very funny in this movie as well. Like she holds her own with Danny Kaye.
She's very funny.
She is. And Danny Kaye does a lot of physical comedy in this, which is always great. I think physical comedy is undervalued in modern films, which is a shame.
I agree. I think there's like a point of like almost like manic that doesn't exist so much anymore. I think like Will Ferrell is sometimes manic like that. But I don't think it quite is the same where like the actor is not unhinged. I don't know, I'm not saying that Will Ferrell's unhinged, but I feel like his manic energy is always like put on in a different way than like Danny Kaye's is or Don O'Connor's in Singing in the Rain. I think it's just a different type of humor, and I don't think we harness it in the same way.
No, I agree, because I think it's almost choreographed, but not like it work. Like it very much is like this controlled kind of chaos. Whereas like Will Ferrell almost is kind of he does like that unhinged almost comedy where you just kind of you don't know what he's gonna do. You know he's gonna do something, but you don't know what it is yet. And he leans more into that. Whereas this is like a controlled chaos. I feel like.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. But yeah, Danny Kaye has a really great moment where he has to pretend that he did something to his knee to keep the general from watching the, I think it's like the Tonight Show, right? It's supposed to be the Tonight Show?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be the Ed Sullivan Show.
Ed Sullivan Show, that's what it is.
Because it's the Ed Harrison Show. It was like, oh, that's not a huge leap there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, clever guys. But yeah, he has to like, and he keeps like the way he does it. It is almost like a dance move, like that physical comedy. I'm not describing the scene very well. If you get a chance, go watch it on YouTube. He does a very good job, like, of pretending that his knee is out, and like,
yes, every time he like takes a step, it's like his entire body. It's like a dance movement of, oh, my knee hurts, rather than like a real stumble. Like nowadays, someone would just stumble and be hurt. And instead, it's like his entire body engages it with it, and it's humorous, and you know he's putting it on. And you, for a moment, are like, why is General Waverly believing this? Like, this dude's not hurt.
No. And he even, like, I do like the general tries to, like, pawn him off a couple times, and he does. He really sells it, which I really, I can't wait to rewatch this later this week. already rewatch it. But yeah, so the fake engagement to get Bob and what's Rosemary Clooney's name? Fuck.
She's Betty.
Betty, that's it. To get them to talk again. And that's another trope. We have a lot of angst because of miscommunication, which sometimes I love in romantic comedies, and other times it just makes me anxious, so I try to avoid movies like that.
Agreed. Where it's like, if they just talk to each other, they'd be fine. And you're like, just stop, please.
Yeah. Like, you guys are doing so well. Mad? Yes. Just talk to one another. Go sing to each other again. What was it? Count your blessings. Go sing over whatever the weird food you found behind the bar. I remember it just being weird. I can't remember exactly what it is. It's like weird.
It's bread, like liverwurst or something.
Yeah, like it's like that's not a great midnight snack. Also, whoever wrote the screenplay for this, that is not a good midnight snack. I know it was like 60 years ago, but Jesus,
they ate so weird.
I don't
like it.
It's
kind of like amazing. Yeah, I agree.
That we survived as a country.
I don't know, the amount of milk that they drink in this movie is unreal, actually. I was watching it this time. I was like, I don't think that they drink. I don't think there's any references to alcohol, and I know no one smokes on screen, except for like a pipe.
Which seems weird.
Oh no, yeah. Waverly smokes later, but they do turn down cigarettes.
Yes, but they do smoke a pipe, because like, I think Bob smokes at one point, and he has like a almost like humorously long pipe that's like longer than the general's.
Yes, he's got one of those.
I don't know why that cracks me up, but it does. Like,
but this time I was like, they drink so much milk in this movie.
Yeah, it's a lot. I enjoy milk, but even I was like, this is like a Get Milk ad before Get Milk was a thing. Or Got Milk. Get Milk, Got Milk, Got Milk. Wow. See, I can't keep one single train of thought.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not good. This is not great. This is fun for me editing later because now I get to be like, oh, this is fun. I get to follow my train of thought that goes nowhere most of the time. So,
but it's also hard. I encourage it.
Yeah, that's true. Last week with Emily, we were getting off topic because we were talking about Tom Holland. And I was like, she was like, you need to stop me from like saying stuff like that, like, you know, from getting off topic. And I was like, I'm right there with you, though. Like, I'm on the off topic train. It works.
I can't tell one story in one like cohesive way.
No, me neither. Like, yeah, no. It's just this. Sorry, people who don't know me or Maddie. This is usually how conversations with us go, like 15 different topics.
We're still amateurs, and this is just how conversations go.
Yes. Do you remember that? This another off-topic thing. Do you remember that time we were at the box office, and I think it was like a weekend? And remember, like, we were talking about like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something, and some lady came up and she said something, and then she left, and she came back. She was like, "Sorry, you guys are probably talking about me." Do you remember this?
No,
I distinctly remember that. Because, like, either me or you, after she left that second time, we were like, well, we weren't talking about you, bitch, but now we are. Like, it was just like.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about you. I had very important things to talk about. It was definitely about Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Doctor Who.
Or Doctor Who. I don't know why I thought of that, but.
No, that's really funny. I forgot about that completely. It tugs at a memory, but not enough that I would have ever come up with that without you reminding me.
I'm not gonna lie, I think about that every once in a while. Like, I'll just be sitting somewhere and I'll be like, remember that lady that thought we were talking about her? And it just cracks me up. Next time I go somewhere, I'm gonna go say something, leave, come back and be like, you're probably talking about me.
Yeah, like, you're inconsequential to my life, lady. I sold you a ticket. Goodbye.
Yeah. Please leave. We're in the middle of a conversation here.
We literally sold like one ticket each time we were sat there. So yeah. You were taking up our time.
Yeah.
Go away.
This is our friendship time
that they're paying us for.
Yes. Or we probably had Netflix on in the box office. I remember we used to do that too.
I watched so much TV at that job.
Yeah, I watched a lot of TV. It set the bar for watching TV at work, which turns out that was the only place I was ever allowed to watch TV at work.
That is the only place I was ever allowed to watch TV at work.
Yep.
And I couldn't do any of the other jobs that I ever had while having TV on at any other employment I do.
No, that's true. I do want to go back really quickly because we talked a couple of the musical numbers, but I do want to talk about Sisters, which has two moments in this film, much like the title song. But Sisters is a fun little beast all its own. Especially the second time around when Wallace and Davis have to lip sync through Sisters, which is just, I think, one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie.
I think so too. And I also I was taking some notes of like what my favorite things are in this movie, and that lip sync of Sisters in there, like, beyond Bing Crosby just cracking up because it's a mess. He messes up the lip sync multiple times. It's so funny. It's like, I don't know if he's intentionally messing it up because he's like, oh, this guy's only heard this song once, so why would he know the words? Or if he's just so, like, practically out of character because Danny Kaye just keeps whipping him with this feathered, whatever that is, boa. Big fan. He just keeps hitting him with it, and I think he's completely out of character.
It's so funny. I think we're seeing Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye more than Wallace and Davis. I know that they improvised that scene Because I think Danny Kaye was like, wouldn't it be funny if like to distract from them leaving, like they like lip sync to it. And I think it is. I think it's just the actors like just having a lot of fun. I think it is. Danny Kaye is just so hilarious that Bing Crosby just can't keep up with it. And it's just, it's very joyful. And I see why they kept it in the movie, because it just, it really works. It's always been one of my favorite scenes.
Same. It's so funny. The first time I saw that, I know I cracked up. Like, it was very funny. It stays funny, but the first time you like don't really understand what's happening. Like, you're following the story, but like the song starts and you're like, wait, what? They really like kind of kept like a lid on it in a way. It's obvious now. Yes. But maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention. But the first time I was like, wait, how are the girls? Oh, duh. And then like I saw it, I was like, duh.
Right. It almost feels very modern for an older movie, in my opinion.
That's exactly, you're saying something, you're articulating that a lot better than I was trying to.
You just said the exact same thing, and I'm just repeating what you said, but like it just feels like something like, because you don't see like that doesn't happen in Singing in the Rain or anything, you know what I mean? Like, it's very unique.
Clever.
Yeah, and it, I mean, you could tell, like, they were just having a blast that one day on set, because, like, Bing Crosby is, he's just, like, cracking up, especially at the end of it, and then Danny Kaye's just laughing at the end of it. I can't even imagine being on that set.
No, it must have been so funny.
Yes. I think also Bing Crosby, I know on Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly was a bit of a stickler, so it looked at, like, I don't know why I think there's obvious reasons I compare Gene Kelly and Bing Crosby, but they always come up as a comparison in my mind. And I think Bing Crosby just seems a little more laid back, I think, than Gene Kelly. So it kind of comes across in the film, I think.
Yes, definitely. I agree.
So speaking of being modern, we do live in a time of the inevitable Hollywood reboot. And I am of the opinion, I don't know if you'd agree, but I think we are due for a White Christmas remake, if I'm being very honest.
I completely agree, but I have struggled with my reboot fan cast. So I
have
want you?
You
to lead it. I've really struggled with the women.
So I did at first too. So I'll start with them. I think that Audra McDonald could play Betty, because Audra McDonald can sing and she's fantastic. I love her. When they did like the live Sound of Music a couple years ago, her version of Climb Every Mountain, like literally just like chills.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She is. And I love her, and I don't think she gets enough credit like for film and television. So I would like to see her like in a lead role. Audra McDonald,
and
hit
she
me
would
up.
Do,
I follow you on Twitter.
She would do she would do Love You Didn't Do Right By Me awesomely. Like that would be amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would say her for Betty, and then I'm bad with the character names. For Vera Ellen's sister. What the hell is her name?
Judy.
Betty and Judy.
Judy.
Yeah, that was it. Judy. I'm gonna get it eventually. You would think I would have done research for this, but apparently no. For Judy I think if we do it, you have to stay, like, I think having, like, the strong singer for Betty and a strong dancer, I kind of, my default was Jenna Dewan Tatum, because she's married to Channing Tatum, right? Yeah, her.
They're divorced now.
Yeah, so her last name's not Tatum anymore.
I'm sorry to be the one to
I know.
Break that to you.
No, I know. As soon as I said it, I was like, yeah, no, they're divorced. But she's a good dancer, so I think she would be
Yeah, that's great, because that's exactly where I struggle.
Yeah.
Like, with her being, I was like, who is a good enough dancer? And then I just lost, like, I lost the woman. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I think she's a great
like,
dancer. I think she's a great one.
Yeah.
Great choice.
Especially, I mean, I hate to keep, sorry, Jenna Dewan, for bringing up Channing Tatum again, but she's really good in Step Up, which was, like, my main
She's
thought,
really
honest.
Good in that lip sync battle that the two of them do.
Yeah. She is. I think she'd be good. I think you should keep like the dancer for that. I would probably cut out, if they do a reboot, Mandy and choreography, if I'm being very honest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mandy is like a good it's a good number in this because it's like it actually has everyone in it for the most part. The dancing is really good, but it's so unnecessary.
Yeah, actually, now I don't know. Maybe keep Mandy, cut choreography.
Definitely cut choreography. I cut choreography myself every time I watch it.
you're already like done. I've already done this.
I've done my time. 12 years of it.
It's like an Azkaban, isn't it? Actually, speaking of Harry Potter, it's pretty funny. One of my mom's friends, her daughter for Order of the Phoenix, she ripped out the page where Sirius dies. And she said, in my version of Order of the Phoenix, Sirius Black does not die. And that just reminded me of that.
Yeah, I mean, in my version of Order of the Phoenix, of Prisoner of Azkaban, Sirius Black doesn't die either, but...
Hey, someone needs to tell J.K. Rowling, there is an abridged version of your novel.
Unfortunately, this is the world we live in.
Yeah. And in the other timeline where Donald O'Connor plays... Davis, Sirius Black does not die in the Harry Potter series. Also, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't finished Harry Potter. If you haven't, it's been like 30 years.
Exactly.
It's been a while. No more spoilers on that. I was just sorry.
So I want to cast the men based off of your women, because I think my fan cast matches yours in a weird way, except one person needs to be magically aged.
Okay,
so my Bing Crosby, I want to cast Leslie Odom Jr. from Hamilton.
Oh, he would be good.
He would be good, right?
He would be. That's good.
Thank you. Even though Bing Crosby doesn't dance as much, I think they could up his dancing.
Yeah. He doesn't dance at all. I think that's because he was just a singer. So I think he was probably like, I don't want to dance in this movie.
And he's also not young in this movie.
He is not. No, like he's you mentioned really earlier, like, there's a bit of an age gap.
He's really like towards the end of his like dance, like moving. He doesn't look young either. There's times where I'm watching this movie and I'm like, he is grossly miscast as like a young single man that hasn't settled down yet.
Yes, I agree. To be honest, he always looks old to me. All of them kind of look old to me though. Like in a weird way, but he definitely does. Like,
he's definitely older. He's definitely like 40s, like late 40s.
Yeah.
Because what year is this movie? Do the math.
So it came out in 1954. I'm assuming it's modern times, right? Like for what it was. So I would assume it takes place in the 50s at the very latest.
I think so, yeah, because they leave the war, they become successful, so I think it's modern.
Because they start in 1944, so I don't know if it took them 10 years to get successful, but...
That would be fair, right?
I mean, I would think so. That's always in my head, I've been like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Because they become, like, with, like, the ads that come up, they become, like, they have their own stage show, they become a duo act, and then they become producers on Broadway, and they're like, they've already produced a couple of shows.
Yeah.
It's got to be like 10 years. You can't do that in two.
No. Yeah. So I would say it's like modern for the time.
So if it's 1954, I wrote down everyone's birth year. I meant to do how old they were. Bing Crosby and Dean Jagger, who plays General Waverly, are born the same year. So they're the same age in 1903. So that makes them 41. 51? That makes them 51. 1903 to 54.
How old is Rosemary Clooney?
Rosemary Clooney was born in 1928. Please don't make me do that math. I got an art degree.
So she's 20. That just made me laugh. She's 20. So she's 25 years younger than Bing Crosby. So she's like, oh, now you're making me do math. And you know what? My job relies on math. This is not a great endorsement for my work. I'm just saying. all right, skipping up. She's a lot years younger.
She's a lot younger, and he's playing a type of character that I think he's too old to be playing. Anyway, I want to cast Leslie Odom Jr. in that role.
I agree.
And then I want to magically age Tom Holland up and have him be the Danny Kaye character.
You know what? I knew you were going to have Tom Holland in there earlier.
Did you?
I did. I was thinking about it because last week when we did Spider-Man, I was like, there's only two people I know that really love Tom Holland. It's Maddie and Emily. And I was like, Maddie's probably going to try and she's going to put Tom Holland in the White Christmas reboot that we're casting.
I want to guess your one because I think it's Zachary Levi that you tried to put in there.
But until you said that right now, I forgot he sings. Oh, he would be perfect.
He does
in it.
Sing.
Zachary Levi, I'm so sorry. I was totally championing you earlier, and I just totally forgot to cast you in this.
I, like, actually, like, wanted to, like, you know, like, have an envelope closed where I'm like, Coco cast Zachary Levi in White
you know
Christmas.
What?
Surprise!
He'd be perfect, and you know what? Instead of who I originally had for the Wallace recast, he'd actually probably be good as Wallace. No, David. Sorry, Davis. Yeah, I think he'd be better Davis than Danny Wallace.
King. Yeah. Agreed.
No, that's a good one.
So who did you originally cast?
You're not going to like it because you don't like him. Can you guess?
Okay.
Are you
going
to guess?
I can't. I don't like so many people. Give me a hint.
I can't give you a hint without giving it away. I don't even know why we're playing this game. I could just tell you instead of just be like, hey, guess it.
Because I love games. Go on. Who is it?
I do love him, and he's a good actor. So Adam Driver. I thought Adam. He just finished.
I knew you were going to cast Adam Driver. No, Adam Driver has convinced me with The Last Jedi. And I'm on board with Adam Driver. I was just not on the girls' train.
To be fair, I haven't watched Girls. I've seen all the gift sets on Tumblr, but I've not watched it.
I should have just taken a minute and cast Adam Driver. And I want to amend that I'm now a fan of Adam Driver.
Okay, because I think like the last time you were like, I do not like Adam Driver.
No, because I really don't like Girls. I really just don't care for all of that. And there was something else he was in that I didn't like.
Since then I've seen
Logan Lucky, Black
Klansman. That movie's fantastic. Yep.
The Last Jedi. I think he was really, I think, like, the Kylo Ren stuff in The Force Awakens was just really weird. Like, my audience visibly laughed out loud when he took off his mask the first time in the interrogation
room. Oh, really?
Yes. Like, it just fell flat for me in a lot of points, but they brought it back.
They did. I will say his performance in Last Jedi adds a lot to his performance in Force Awakens. Like, if you go back and watch
it. Does, because I've gone back and watched. Yeah, no, I've gone back and watched. Disney Plus dropped. I watched the Star Wars. Don't worry.
Oh, Disney Plus. I've been literally doing nothing but Disney Plus the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, except Sean watched all the Star Wars. Except for work. Don't worry, work.
Hey, work. I work when I'm home. I'm not just watching, like, Oliver and Company. Don't worry about it. But yeah, it's nice having all the Star Wars. Is that I cannot blame Sean because it's just all there.
I was telling a story this weekend, and they're like, "Oh, Sean, what have you watched on Disney Plus?" And he's like, "The Star Wars." And they're like, "Which ones?" He's like, "All of them."
All of them.
And I had a migraine last weekend, and I emerged. I could hear him. I was in the bedroom. I could hear him watching episode one. I heard the music start, and I was like, if this is anything other than, like, if he's starting with the prequels, I'm not coming out. But if he's starting with A New Hope, I'm coming out. And I could hear Jar Jar Binks soon after, and I was like, okay, cool.
You're like,
not
I'm good.
Coming out.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I just got done with the prequel trilogy again, and I was like, it'll be better this time around. They're not great.
It's just
I'm
not.
Sorry.
So no. I emerged sometimes during the Clone Wars, and like really like came to from my headache like during Revenge of the Sith, and I actually watched like the end of that in full with him. And then I went to bed, and I wake up the next morning, and he's at the end of the Return of the Jedi.
So he went through all of them. He was just like, I'm doing it.
he just did it. I woke up and I was like, what? I missed all of the Star Wars except for the terrible one. I watched, I saw a lot of the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's not
and
great.
And he also watched Rogue One in the middle of that. Oh, I stayed up for Rogue One.
That's because Rogue One is fantastic. I love Rogue One.
Rogue One's a good movie.
It's not even a
Star Wars movie. It's a good movie. It's got a solid reason to exist.
Yes. I agree. That's one that makes me cry a lot.
Rogue One makes me cry.
Spoiler alert, everybody dies. Like, I'm not even joking.
Everybody dies. And everyone has to die, because you're like, and you go into this and you're like, I don't know this character, he's definitely dead. I don't know this character, she's definitely dead.
Yeah.
There's no, like, because they are trying to, like, rewrite a plot hole, but they're not trying to, like, rewrite history. They're not making characters that are going to suddenly show up in The Force Awakens. At least not The Force Awakens, but, like, the new trilogy.
Yeah.
Or at least I hope so. I don't think that's the point of this movie. I don't think, like, we're going to find out anything about anyone from Rogue One turns out to be any sort of anything in Rise of Skywalker.
No, of course, everybody was like, well, Felicity Jones is British and Daisy Ridley's British, so she must be Rey's mom. And you're like, that's not how that works.
That's not how that works.
That's just because she's British doesn't mean suddenly that's her mother. And then people online were like, I wonder if they'll do a sequel to Rogue One. And I want to be like, it is called A
New Hope.
Everyone's
dead.
Yeah, everyone's dead. And it's
there's multiple sequels to Rogue One.
Yes. Do I have good news for you? You will be able to enjoy this story further. May I introduce A New Hope to you?
I just got to hear your last fan cast. So you're casting Adam Driver as the Bing Crosby role with,
yes,
which
but
I should have known.
I think he just lost to Zachary Levi. That was a better casting than mine. And Adam Driver's my boy, but I think he just lost to my other boy. Yeah. No. Zachary Levi,
you
beat
Adam
Driver.
Adam Driver's IMDb for this year is absurd. He's in everything.
It's Adam Driver's world, and we're just living in it, and I'm pretty sure he's definitely... Yeah, he's definitely getting an Oscar nomination. I think there's a good chance he's going to win.
For The Report?
Well, no, for Marriage Story.
Oh, for Marriage Story. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about that one.
I've been desperately trying
to
see.
For me. The Report's coming for me hard on, like, ads on Twitter and IMDb.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, he's getting good reviews for that as well, but I think Marriage Story is probably going to be the one that... Which I've tried to see both in theaters, but Chicago, a major city, apparently is not having any of them in limited release. So there you go. I'm not bitter about it, clearly.
No, clearly not. But we're not close enough to the Oscars yet.
No.
It's only November. Like, we're not there. You'll start getting them once, like, actual nominations come out and stuff like that.
Well, and I think The Report's
out. You just won't
see
it before.
Right. I think it's out this week on Prime, and then Marriage Story, I think, is out next week on Netflix. So I got two straight weeks of Adam Driver, and then I got Rise of Skywalker, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to pass out before it starts. So. I can't even imagine what I'm going
to record. We can stay on afterwards, but can we talk Star Wars theories before we hang up?
Oh, yes. I have all the theories.
Okay, good. All right, so I want to hear your Danny Kaye fan cast. So
Danny Kaye was Adam Driver, but I'm switching to Zachary Levi. Sorry, Adam Driver. And then I'm going a little... I really liked him in Inside Llewyn Davis, so I'm going to do Oscar Isaac as Bing Crosby's role. And he is
a
little older.
We're just doing a Star Wars fan cast.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. As soon as I said that, I was like... And then I have hey, listen.
But he can really sing.
He can really sing. Hey, listen, I didn't cast Daisy Ridley as any of the girls or Kelly Marie Tran, so it's not a total Star Wars fan cast.
I can't. Although Billy Lord would probably do awesome.
Oh, Billy Lord would be good. I'm replacing Jenna Dewan Tatum. Sorry. Billy Lord is going to play Audra McDonald's sister.
Welcome to our Star Wars fan cast, where we just cast them in every movie. We cast the sequel trilogy into every movie that exists.
I mean, I don't hate it. You know what? Just going with this, Harrison Ford is the general. Just do it. If we're doing this, I'm going all in.
Harrison Ford is the general. Yeah, we could do Harrison Ford as the general.
I will say I did fan cast the general, and I gave him a song. Who did you do?
I did the obvious, like, if you need to get if you have to get hundreds of troops for an entire division to come anywhere on a Christmas Eve, who is it going to be?
I don't know, because Tom Hanks. Yeah. That's true.
Who else would the entire world drop everything for?
That's true.
And I already know Private Ryan. In war. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He just played Mr. Rogers. Who did you cast? I cast Hugh Jackman. And
also fair.
And I would, you know, the song that Bob sings on the Ed Harris, not the Tonight Show, the, like, what would you do with the general? Instead of having him sing it, you have the general sing it and make it like a general's lament, and you give it to Hugh Jackman. Boom, best supporting actor, Oscar. You're welcome.
Yeah, best new song or whatever. Not best new song, best.
Just Hugh Jackman
great.
Kills it.
Just great. He just kills it.
Although Tom Hanks is really good too.
Yeah, but Hugh Jackman then singing, I'm kind of in for.
Yeah, I think Hugh Jackman would do good with it. And then you give, like, the general and the not his granddaughter, obviously, the other lady there, they totally had a thing going on, right? Or am I crazy?
Oh, yeah. No, you're totally right.
So actually give them, like, a romance subplot. I gotta cast her, too. Damn. I did not think this through.
Someone silly from Star Wars. Oh, you could do, what's her name? Holdo. What's her name?
Oh, yeah, Laura Dern. Dern. Yeah. Oh, no, I like that one.
She could be funny.
She can be funny. All right. I like that. If we're just going with Star Wars. I like how we're just using the Star Wars cast. You know what? Fuck it. Just bring back CG Carrie Fisher. Make her the characters. Done.
Yeah, I mean, Carrie Fisher could do anything.
She could. Bring Debbie Reynolds back. Still have Billy Lord in it. Billy Lord can just play all the parts.
Billy Lord can do all of it. Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah.
She's awesome. I follow her on Twitter, too. Billy Lord, hit me up. Zachary Levi, hit me up, too. I know you weren't my first choice, but I changed my mind. We tried to get It's just
Adam Driver month, apparently. So.
Listen, I mean, it's been Adam Driver month for the past 2 years for me. I would like to say that was not the truth and not come off as creepy. But I mentioned to shoehorn him into every single episode of this podcast so far. I'm not even lying. It's sad. I love him. All right. This should just be an Adam Driver fan podcast, to be honest. It's sad.
I have a new found love for Inside Llewyn Davis because my friend from work made me listen to Dear Mr. Kennedy just randomly last week.
Yes.
And I think I've listened to it 10 times every day since then.
It's a catchy song.
It's a really catchy song. I do all the Adam Driver parts.
It's outer space.
Oh, no.
I might watch that later. That's a lie. I'm watching Return of the Jedi later. That was a lie.
Are you working your way through it? Yeah, we don't have to talk about. We'll talk about Star Wars once we're off.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a whole other tangent. This podcast just turned into like a 3-hour podcast.
Podcast.
Yes. Oh, I'll be doing one on Rise of Skywalker. Don't worry. Once that comes out, all the thoughts, all the theories, I got them.
That's fair. If you want to do, are you going to do all this Star Wars eventually? And if I'm so, can I call mine?
Yes. Which one's your favorite?
The one that I think I could talk about the most would either be The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi. I think it could be the two new ones.
I am going to eventually do them because I do have a love for this new trilogy.
Yeah, I have a real love for this new trilogy. I just like it.
Yeah, it's great. I don't have a lot of bad things to say about it, which I know it's very divisive, but I love
it. No, I think people are ridiculous at times.
They are.
I would say that my favorite's either A New Hope or The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. I just rewatched A New Hope today, and it's still as great as always.
Again, it's just great.
It is. I'm literally that GIF that I put on Twitter of where Jake's like, oh, chills, literal chills. Like, that's just me.
It's sad. And, like, I feel like I like The Empire Strikes Back because of the plot a lot.
Yeah.
But I like the movie of A New Hope, like, just a ton. Like, I just like the beginning. I like beginnings.
Yes.
A lot. I like new things. Like, I like the start of things. Like, I love, like, I know people, like, complain and I don't need to see, like, Spider-Man's origins ever again. But I do love, like, superhero origins. Oh, I just had an AirPod die. So if my audio gets weird, I'm sorry.
Just one single one died?
Yeah, I use the left one a lot more than I use the right. Or no, vice versa, actually. I use the right one a lot more than I use the left just because of how my office is.
Gotcha.
I leave one in. Yeah.
Oh, I do that at work. I have my headphones on all the time. And people will, like, talk to me and I'll be like, what'd you say? Like that. And they're probably like, Courtney just can't hear you. Just don't even talk to her. But I don't have AirPods because I'm not fancy.
I got fancy. I bought the phone without the stuff, you know what I mean? And it was just like, it was just one of those moments. And it was I didn't have headphones one day and I couldn't buy any except like $30 Bluetooth ones at Duane Reade. And I was like, that's it, I'm buying AirPods.
This is happening. You got my money, Apple.
I love them.
Good job,
by the way. I love them.
I need to get them. I do have like the Bluetooth, like big headphones, but I do need like the actual like little AirPods.
Yeah,
they're easier for commuting.
Yeah.
Than my big clunky ones.
Yeah, I always feel like with the big clunky ones, I feel a little too detached from society with like going around and stuff.
I feel like an NBA player when they walk into the, you know, like where you see video of them like walking in. That's what I feel like every time.
Totally.
Which is not at all realistic. But it makes me feel like a baller. All right, we have gotten way off track. Sorry, that was again my fault. But we have cast, I feel like, a very good Hollywood reboot of White Christmas.
And Star Wars.
It's mostly just Star Wars. JJ, are you available? Actually, you know what? Rian Johnson, he wants to do a musical. Rian Johnson, hit us up.
Yeah, let's be serious. That's who we're picking, right? We're picking Rian Johnson over JJ Abrams.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. We don't know where Rise of Skywalker is going to go.
Oh, I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit once we get off the recording, but I'm very nervous.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to be passed out in the theater. Like, it's going to start and I'm just going to pass out.
The first sentence of the crawl is going to happen.
I'll be like, oh.
It could literally be anything.
Yeah.
Courtney, don't pass out. Passes out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, JJ Abrams specifically is like, hey, fan that's about to pass out, don't do it. It's like too late. And like my eyes roll back in my head.
All right.
things to look forward to in a couple weeks. But yeah, so cast a very good reboot of White Christmas, I feel like. AKA Star Wars the musical.
I mean, the one that we would watch.
Yes. Although
when I was doing my fan cast and where I like really hit a wall was I really wanted to gender swap the roles. I wanted both of them to be swapped.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
I feel like that's the way that the 2019 story would actually go. I think it'd be more fun for like the girls to follow the guys up.
I like that.
I could rewrite this movie. I've been thinking about it, not actually doing it. There's no way I'm actually going to ever rewrite this movie, but when I was thinking about how I would recast this, I was like, I think this story would work out more because it wouldn't be war. And
no.
I think it makes more sense for the girls to follow the guys up.
So you'd still set it modern day. So you'd set it 2020, if that's when they were doing it. You would have said 2020.
Mm-hmm.
See, I would have kept mine in the 50s.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's actually not about it. That's a pretty good idea.
I don't know how, but I don't know how it would work in 2019 or 2020. I guess they could be like YouTubers.
Oh God, that hurt.
I mean, but like, that's the old, like, that's why I was like, I guess you could still do it. You could do it 2020. Maybe I'm
you
just
could
not...
do 2020. We could figure it out. We don't have to figure it out now.
We could do it in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, which we've already done.
We've already done it.
Done.
Been there. Done.
Sold.
That.
Kathleen
Someone
Kennedy.
Write the fan fiction.
And Lucasfilm. Hit us up.
She fires everyone.
She does. Oh, she fires everybody. Don't even get me started on that. It's awesome. Again, another tangent.
I'm sorry. What? It's been awesome. I'm so there for it.
I'm really hoping Rian Johnson doesn't get fired. I just want to put that out there.
I don't think he's going to get fired. I'm so glad she fired, what's their names from Game of
D&D.
Thrones. D&D. Yeah, D&D. I was like, all right. Yeah. My girl knows what she wants. She knows where she wants her franchise to go. She's not effing around. I'm on board.
Yeah, I mean, that was not a good idea. And I like when they announced them as, like, their next trilogy was going to be happening. And it was the day after the Game of Thrones finale aired, and I was like, ooh, probably should have picked a better day.
Yeah, ooh. Should have waited.
Yeah, after you saw the reaction, you should have been like, we're going to hold off on this announcement. And, yeah.
Especially considering she fired them less than 6 months later or something like that.
Yeah, that's because they got a deal with Netflix, though. They have, like, a six-figure deal with Netflix or something like that.
And they did nothing. They did nothing.
No.
Like, they... Whatever. We don't have to get into this tangent either.
I was about to say, this has become the tangent podcast, and it's mostly... I'm an enabler because I allow it to happen, and I'm
yeah. I'm definitely in the... I'm an enabler, too.
This is where this is going.
I think that.
I was about to say, just for the listeners, that heavy breathing is not Maddie.
It's like way up in my face. He's like jumped all over me during this podcast. He's been up on the couch, like, just he's got, when I laugh, he gets very interested.
He's got thoughts.
He does. He does have thoughts. Hudson, what's your thought on Adam Driver?
He loves him. Mom. Oh, that was two very different answers.
Hudson's apparently 2017 Maddie Clark before The Last Jedi dropped.
Yes.
And all the other movies that I linked.
I do not care.
I do not care.
I do not care for that man.
I don't care for that tall man.
Very tall man. Yes, again, one day I'm going to meet Adam Driver and he's going to be like, I listen to all your creepy podcasts. And I was like, oh. That's unfortunate. So, on that note, bringing it back to White Christmas, before we wrap this up, what about White Christmas makes it one of your favorite movies? Like, what about it just really, like, when you're having one of those days and you're like, I would really, like, you just put on White Christmas and it feels like that's your favorite?
I like the feeling of Christmas. I mean, I know that's so lame, but I just think that... Like, it's a happy time, no matter what. I mean, I got married in December, as you may have recalled, you were there. I just enjoy how, like, I like the, like, dark nights with, like, the lights. I just find Christmas time to be happy. And for White Christmas, it doesn't ever get to, it's like a story that definitely revolves around Christmas and the feeling, but it's never like, I have to do this for the holidays. I have to do this. Like, they're never like worrying about putting up a tree or like anything. They're just like capitalizing on that feeling of like home and happiness. Rather than like capitalism of Christmas, not to get whatever, but it's just really a feeling, and it's like doing something good for someone that means a lot to them. Rather than like, you know, capitalist Christmas again.
Right.
And I love like the tropes that we've been talking about. I mean, I love a movie with a fake engagement. I love a movie with a little miscommunication that gets resolved quickly enough that it never makes me anxious. Yes, which this one thankfully does.
Yes. Yeah, it's fairly quickly resolved and you're just like, thank God. I could not have taken much more of this.
Agreed. So yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell why this sticks out as a movie that like I'm happy to put on all the time, and if I need to put something nice on, like, I know everyone's going to be pretty nice to each other. I know, like, no one gets too mean. I'm such a sucker for, like, I don't like movies where people are mean to each other.
You like the, like, not fluff. I feel like fluff's not a good way to say it, but you like.
Oh, no,
like,
I defo like fluff.
Oh, I'm all about the fluff.
I'm all about the fluff.
I'm all about the fluff. Especially, like, in rom-coms. I just love it.
Yes.
But, no, I completely agree. Like, it is nice that it is. It's just a happy movie. Like, even that dark moment is something that, like you said, it's, like, resolved really quickly. And it is just miscommunication. There's nobody's cynical in this, and no one is trying to get ahead or be selfish. Like, it is just a happy movie.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Oh, it's so good. I can't wait to watch it this week for Thanksgiving. And on that note, so I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Maddie, thank you for talking White Christmas with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Do you want to, if you'd like, you could, if you want to give your Twitter handle or Instagram handle. You do not have to. I awkwardly shoehorn this in all the time.
I work in a school. I am so private. you can't not be private when you work with teenagers.
That's yeah, no, fair point.
So you could request to follow me on Twitter or Instagram. I'm MadMcG13 on both, but not really. I don't know if it's going to even give you any sort of joy in your life, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, Twitter's kind of a hell site. Every once in a while, it's nice, but Twitter's just
every
like...
once in a while it's nice, but Twitter's the I love Twitter, but it's the worst.
Oh, that's my exact sense of it. Like, oh, I love it. I put all my movie thoughts there, but it's a hell site. Like, it's just...
It's the worst.
It is the worst. Well, Maddie, thank you again for being here. I do appreciate it. And as for Ghost Facing It, check us out next time. And thank you, guys. Have a good night.